Episode number 22 with Stephen Daniel. Welcome to In It to Win It. This is Stevie B.
And Dan G.
Dan G. We got a lot to talk about here. We got, you're down in Bucaramanga. We got the Nirvana Baby lawsuit, accessory dwelling units, ADUs, and what else? We got the bond market. I feel like every time I call you, you're, it's like I'm talking to a, Colombian drug lord. Like your phone number changes every week. And I'm like, what the hell?
I'm not denying that, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people really wonder what I actually do.
I literally have to go down through my recents list and I'm like, which phone number is he using this time, you know?
Yeah, there's quite a few of them, isn't there?
There is, yeah. They're not getting any smaller.
No, it's not an isolated incident that you said this.
Yeah.
It's okay. That's how I like to keep things dynamic.
Yes. Oh, we also got the book of the week.
Nice. That's the
1%
right.
1% rule.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, good book.
Yeah, I had to do something the other day that I haven't had to do in probably 5-6 years.
It's like a big something or a little something, Steve.
It I don't enjoy doing it. That's why I haven't done it in so long.
Is that called sex?
It's right up there with mowing my lawn. I'd rather hire a gardener. You know, one of those things.
Oh. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
I had to wash my own plane.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because everybody has that problem.
Yeah. It was not cool, bro. Not cool. Not cool at all.
Yeah. Fuck. I mean, yeah, it's just so common. I mean, everybody does one of those things, of course.
Yeah. I was at the airport, and I hadn't flown in about a month or so, and there's been some recent little brush fires around the area, so it just had ash all over it and everything, you know, and I needed to get it washed. Well, usually there's some kids at the at the airport that, you know, they're always looking to make a little extra money or something, you know, and
were they just hanging out at the airport because that's what kids do? Or
they work for one of the flight instructor schools there, and ironically what they do is they wipe down and wash planes and, you know, make sure the tires are full of air and, you know, pretty much exactly what I wanted to hire them for, right? And so I went over there and I talked to him and I said, hey guys, how you doing? They're all pretty good. And I said, hey, you know, I was wondering if you guys want to make a little extra money after your shift is over. And they're all, doing what? And I said, wash a plane. And ironically, all three of them there was chamois just wiping down a plane, right? And and they're like, oh, I don't know. And then I was like, there's three of them. And I thought, you know, probably take all three of them maybe 30, 40, 45 minutes tops to do.
Like that'd be like max time, like 45 minutes. Like,
yeah. I mean, I don't have a fucking greasing. John Travolta jet, you know, I just got this little two seat. You've seen it, you know, it's just a small plane, you know,
Just your average plane.
Yeah. Just your average plane. And I said, $150 sound fair, thinking that, $50 each for, you know, 30 to 40 minutes worth of work to a 19-year-old should be a
that'll cover it, sure, why not.
That ought to be pretty good. They're probably making $20 an hour, you know. And they all three kind of like looked at each other and they're all and I was like, are they fucking with me? And I was all, how about 200? And they said, no, it's okay, thank you though. And I was like,
I get more than that from my dad's stimulus check he gives me.
I'm like, what the hell? I couldn't believe it. I was like, all right. I at first I thought they were screwing with me just to see how much more they could get, you know? And I'm like, okay, I've never paid anyone $200 to wash my fucking plane. You know, I mean, I think the most I've ever paid is like 130 or something just for a wash. You know, usually a wash and wax is like 250, 300.
You know? So you can get the full thing. So like,
you vacuum and wax and all that shit. I've never paid more than 300.
They put armor all on the tires?
They don't armor all the tires, no. everything else is pimped out. You know, I mean, yeah, like all the windows are perfectly clean with Windex and all those. You know,
do they live
an
air freshener in there?
A little taxi cab air freshener. Yeah, a tree.
Yeah, the little tree thing. Do they put that shit in there too? Is there like a little like Bubbles and Suds planes or something you go kind of fly through? Or how
yeah,
the
they hang it
work?
from the compass, you know, where the rear view mirror would be on a regular car. You know, there's a compass there in a plane, so they hang it.
So there's not really any like hot chicks that like, you know, wash airplanes or anything.
Oh, I wish. Oh, okay. I would stick around and watch instead of just hand them the keys and tell them I'll be back in 2 hours. But none of them wanted to do it. I couldn't believe it.
Just comes to show you where we're at in society.
My God. Yeah. I pulled it over to my mechanics and I'm like, you know, Glenn, can I borrow your hose? I'm like, cause he told me before I walked over there, he's like, man, I just can't get the kids to wash any plates. I'm like,
wait, I thought they worked there. And you're saying you can't get them to work as they're working. Like I'm confused.
Oh, they work for like a flight school that has a bunch of planes and their job is to keep the planes clean, full of fuel, tires, you know, simple shit. And if it's anything more than that, where it needs the oil change, then it goes into the shop and the mechanics take care of that. Right. So these kids literally for a living keep these fleet of planes clean, ones that are just like mine. You know, and so I figured if they can't be making more than $20 an hour, you know, I figured, you know, their shift ended in 45 minutes, you know.
Evidently they are, Steve.
Apparently, I just underbid the shit and insulted them, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
you should have asked them what their number was.
Like what is it worth to you?
What's your time worth?
I wasn't gonna go any more than 200. I refuse to do that. I'm just like,
no. I get it. I mean, yeah, I get it.
I even thought that was pretty generous. I thought 150 was pretty generous. But yeah. Whatever. Anyhow.
Well, you're doing better than R. Kelly.
Oh, shit. You sent me that story. I couldn't believe it.
That story's been going on for a while, man. Well, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, you know, he's like baby making music, you know, it's kind of fun, you know, every once in a while.
But that screwed himself so bad.
Well, he's been screwing himself for 20 years. He just got caught.
Yeah, 18 is the age you want to go for, and then when you start, some of the stuff I don't even know if we should talk about. But
it's so bad.
I think he will continue singing, but it's going to be from a jail cell.
Yeah, he's making Bill Cosby look amazing. Ron Jeremy doesn't have anything on this guy.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh,
Jesus. Yeah, this story is like, so it's like a rabbit hole of stories.
That man is never getting out of jail.
There's impossible. I don't think the best lawyer in the world could get him out.
No, No. That is gnarly. Yeah.
And I want to spare everybody the details on that. So, you can find out for yourself.
I'm doing better than that guy.
Yeah, and Ron Jeremy.
Yes, I'm also doing better than him.
He only has 32 counts on him. He's with a $6 million bail.
they were all of legal age, though, right? Unlike Mr. Kelly?
Yeah, that was all. I don't know 100% because I'm not I don't know.
You're not 100. The hedgehog?
No, I'm not the hedgehog on that one. Yeah, so.
The similarities are uncanny, but you're just not him.
Yeah, I'm just not him. Oh, man.
So how's Columbia doing? You had your
good.
You went to Santa Marta, right?
I was
drinking
Mai
Tais on the beach and all
drinking Mai Tais, you know, that everybody's like, you know, I love that, you know, white, everybody wants to be on that white sand beach. I'm like, man, you know, that sand on the beach is white because it's so freaking hot. That's why it's white. It's bleached.
It's just bleached.
It's like bleached sand. You know, it's like if people want to talk about these tropical places, I mean, it's great for a few days, but after a few days, I'm like, I got to get the frick out of here. It's freaking hot. I can't do the private island shit anymore, Steve. It's just too hot. And, you know, this lobster crap is overrated. You can only eat so much of it.
Yeah, $10 lobster, it just gets old after a while, right?
Yeah, especially those jumbo shrimp. Fuck. Yeah. If I got to see another one of those in my salad, I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah, no, actually, look, I have to admit, it was actually nice. We just came back from center, which is beautiful, by the way, but it's just nice to be in like 70 degree weather, go to bed and wake up in the same weather. It's like 70 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's just nice, you know. Nice. It's just, yeah, that's sticky, like, oh god, like, you know, I feel like I'm in a, it's like a poor man's Miami out there, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
So pricing wise, you know.
yeah
but nice. So out here in the Book, and Book's just, you know, weather is, for me, is perfect out here. And just taking advantage of my time out here, just taking a lot of lessons apparently.
You're doing jiu-jitsu, right?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, I've been doing jiu-jitsu a long time, but yeah, but it's so cheap out here. It's cost me like $5 for a private lesson. So yeah, I do jiu-jitsu in the morning, and then come afternoon, I take my Spanish lessons, and then I take for another seven, like, I think it cost me like $8 maybe for an hour, $7, $8, I don't even know, whatever. And then another like $10 salsa dance lesson. I'm like, frick, why not? Nice. Throw some guitar on there after that shit.
how about the harpsichord? You gonna take harpsichord lessons?
Well, if I could find it, you know. Who doesn't love the harp, you know?
And make sure it's not one of those little like Cupid ones, you know, that's real small. Ones that's literally taller than you are, you know. I mean, like 6 foot.
It needs like its own case that's taller than you, right? Like 6'5", like a 6'5" carrying case, you know.
Something that you can't carry around on your own. You need a team to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who does that? And where do you get those things fixed?
The same guy that fixes the grandfather clocks.
Same street.
Yeah.
This is great.
There's one guy in the whole state, and it's such a niche market. He's got to specialize in grandfather clocks and giant harpsichords.
FedEx has a hard time finding his address, I'm sure.
When that turned out to be not quite enough business, he also opened up electronics, cell phone store.
Yeah.
And a small little liquor store in there that sells gum.
No, I mean, hey, look, nothing against the harp. I mean, it's a beautiful instrument, you know. Is it like weddings or like when people die?
Yeah.
It's not like really a Friday night kind of thing, you know, go listen to someone playing the harp. So, yeah, but hey, you don't see many of them around.
So you're back in Bucaramanga now, right?
Yeah, back in Bucaramanga. I'm actually staying at my own Airbnb.
Oh, nice. It sounds like you brought the kids with you.
Well, no, I just talked to my girlfriend and not having any children, so I have birds.
Okay. These aren't parrots, right? What are they?
Well, they're like mini parrots. They're cockatiels.
Cockatiels. Okay.
And
so what are they, like the size of your fist or like the size of a coffee cup, or how big are they?
Yeah, no, they're like, you know, I don't know, about like 12 inches. I mean, they got a long tail. They're like it's like a miniature parrots, but they just... you know, I'd rather, you know, I guess just clean up bird poop than, you know, listening to crying kids. So there you go.
Running diapers.
Running diapers, 3 o'clock in the morning, dude. I'll take the cockatiels all day, dude. You want to I want to have kids. Give me another cockatiel.
I kept expecting to hear like Chacho's clicking in the background. I'm like, oh, that's right. He's up here. He's not down there.
No. I just have bird shitting on my face now. It's like, unfortunately, they love hanging out on my head wherever I go.
Just drop a deuce right on your perfect hair.
I'm not going to get into it because, you know, it's probably not the most nicest fun thing to talk about, but yeah. It's like, you know, but again, I'd rather take that all day.
Yeah. So how'd the Airbnb thing go? You were saying that...
I came down here to get another.
Get another Airbnb. One, right?
Yeah, but I...
Like a one or two bedroom or something?
In a different area here in Columbia. But, we got put on notice. So kind of interesting. And this kind of goes back to when I've said this previously before in places, you know, whether you buy, rent, sell, whatever you're doing, you know, you got to, if you get something in another country, you know, I'm always, you know, always abided by, hey, if you get something in another country, you got to be willing to lose it, you know? And here's a perfect example. I got put on notice by the Colombian government. So they sent me a thing through Airbnb saying basically all Airbnbs in the country of Colombia by January 1st need to be registered with, I think it's the it's the tourism. You have to be registered as tourism within the country. So basically the building wherever you have your Airbnb must be registered as tourism. So in order to do that, 70% of the building needs to take a vote, you know, like if it's a condo, which most of them kind of are, in order to change it over to, you know, as registered as tourism. So I don't know what's actually going to happen. You know, they could be actually really bad. And so I was going to spend more time just to setting everything up here, but that's not going to be the case anymore. Cause I just got put on notice. So I have till January 1st, 2022, which everybody in the entire country does, to register with the Colombian government. So I don't know exactly. It's hard to get any information right now cause it's so new. But we'll see, you know, it could be something as simple as paying somebody some money, or I may have to stop altogether here. You know, I'm just not sure. It's just really up in the air until January, until I see what happens after I get everything registered. But everybody is in the same boat.
Okay. So yeah. Does it go building by building? They go to one apartment building and they're like, okay, we need 70%.
No. You have to be, you know, let's say a place like Cartagena, Santa Marta, you know, it's a very touristy kind of place. So a lot of the buildings there are registered as tourism. So if you have an Airbnb in, let's say, Cartagena, which is a very, you know, it's kind of like a Miami, you know,
it's a touristy area.
Very touristy. So a lot of those buildings are registered as tourism. So let's say if you have an Airbnb in those place, not a problem. But as soon as you start going to the interior parts of Colombia, that's not really a touristy place. So it's very
where you're at right now, Bucaramanga.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of Airbnbs here, but how many of those buildings are registered as tourism? So that is, you know, it's a bit of a complication. Again, it could be something as simple as hiring a lawyer and, you know, paying a, you know, $500 or something. I don't know. So we just have to wait and kind of wait and see what happens. So for the time being, everything is just on hold. As of right now, I'm just going to keep working, you know, what I have. And then when January, February, March comes, you know, whenever, you know, if they send me something or however I can combat it. And it's usually a money thing, you know, with a place like this, but we'll see what happens, you know?
Yeah. How much do you got to pay them off?
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. We actually bribed the guards and everything. So yeah, it's just how it works down here.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. Okay. Well, yeah, you're right. That's one of the risks, you know?
Yeah. You can definitely make money, but you know, buyer beware, right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the same thing, right? In Nicaragua, like you have an uprising there. They can just come and, you know, take your house, right?
Yeah.
You know, which they have elections coming up, you know, pretty soon over there. And, you know, who knows, you know, they had some stuff happen before and, you know, you could, you know, lose your place.
Yeah. True.
Not trying to scare anybody, but you know, it's just a fact, you know?
Yeah. You can kind of get in relatively cheap compared to what you could in the US if you don't own the place and you sublet it like you do, but that's the risk is.
Yeah. You got to treat it like cryptocurrency, right?
Yeah. Hold it for a hot minute and sell it at the right time.
Yeah, well, you know, like cryptocurrency is like, well, you know, as we say, the intrinsic value or whatever, like if it's not bait, whatever anybody, you know, how they want to believe it. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, tomorrow it could go to zero, you know, and there it goes. You know, just you got to think the same way with doing things outside of the country as well, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, You saw the Nirvana baby lawsuit, right?
Yeah, child pornography, Steve.
Yes, yeah. So, okay, so we can picture the Nirvana Nevermind album cover, right? Of the baby
swimming
underwater naked, and there's a dollar bill in front of him with a fish hook, you know?
I was just like, oh, baby swimming in a pool. There's some kind of dollar thing. I never put anything together in my head about this, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, it says that, at least the story that we read says that image has generally been understood as a statement on capitalism, and it includes the digital composition of a dollar bill on a fish hook that the baby appears to be enthusiastically swimming toward. I never really put that together on it, but I guess now that they say that, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, right? In a roundabout kind of way, you know, I get it, you know, okay, sure, why not? All right, I just pick what we saw, just some, oh, that's kind of cool art, cool.
Yeah, yeah, probably one of the most famous, you know, album covers, you know.
Yeah.
We don't really have album covers too much anymore because everything's digitized, but back then, I mean, when you bought cassette tapes and CDs, it was kind of a big thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, that baby's all grown up.
Yeah, that baby's all grown up. He's 30 years old now. His name's Spencer Eldon. And apparently
he probably listens to the show.
He probably does. Yeah, he's probably our number one fan. He's about to not be.
He's a fanboy.
Anyhow, Mr. Eldon hired a lawyer after 30 yeah. years, never bringing this up before. And as a matter of fact, Spencer Eldon has posed several times, you know, as kind of a spoof on it as he's gotten older, doing that same pose in the...
Like naked?
No, he was wearing board shorts, but doing that same pose, you know, is kind of like, you know, hey, that was me on there, you know. And yeah. Anyhow, he hired a lawyer, Mr. Robert Lewis. And Mr. Lewis, Eldon's lawyer, offers a different interpretation of the image. And he argues that it crosses the line into child porn, writing that the
child porn. Like, laughing.
I'm trying to lose without laughing. I really.
Yeah. Okay. And it's true. This is true.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is real.
Real dog stuff.
Yeah. It crosses the line into child porn, writing that the inclusion of currency in the shot makes the baby appear, quote, like a sex worker.
Holy shit. I never put that together. But now that you mention it.
It makes perfect sense, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, the capitalism explanation is obviously just way the fuck out there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Baby this, sex workers, dude. Of course. Yeah,
this child pornography thing, you know, all of a sudden coming to light 30 years later makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, this isn't about money, Steve.
No, not at all. No, no. But apparently for the pain and suffering, he's trying to get $150,000 from Courtney Love, the other two guys still alive in the band, and the executor of Kurt Cobain's estate.
So he was like in baby porn. I'm just trying to put this all together. Like, what?
Basically, he got paid, or his parents got paid when he was a baby. Yeah. His parents
How
got
much?
Paid $200 on the day of the
for throwing their kid in.
Yeah,
throwing their kid in the pool
on the day of the pornography shoot. His parents got $200, and I think Mr. Spencer. Eldon he's feeling a little shafted, I think.
Well, I think he's suing the wrong peeps. I think he should be like suing his parents.
He should for pimping him out like that.
Pimping
him,
baby pimping.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's full on baby pimping right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of blows me away. It's like, you know, that would be like someone coming back. Okay. For the artwork for this show, I don't remember what it cost. Maybe it's 50 or 100 bucks or something, but you know, maybe 30 years from now when you and I are billionaires and they come back and try to say that, hey, they made it on In It to Win It because of my artwork on that thing. No, dude, you were paid. That's it.
Yeah. His parents, they paid. That's what I'm saying. He should be suing his parents for this. Wow. Not Courtney Love. Wow. That's that's the world we live in.
That is, you know, that's how we know we've arrived as a society is, you know, there's, we have to sue over child pornography for things like that 30 years later.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is all true.
Yeah, this is true.
I'm not smart enough to make that shit up.
But we have to learn new terms like cisgender and agender and bgender and things like that.
But, I can't even. I'm confused by everything. I just don't know. That's why I'm over here, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm actually here to get away from all that shit.
You mean they don't have cisgenders down there in Colombia?
No,
really?
There's just nothing. It's like old school, you know. There's no I haven't even seen a kid on an iPad in like weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, never. I mean, they actually play in parks and shit.
No kidding.
I haven't seen a kid on a computer. Like, people have phones and they use them, and you know, they talk on their phones, but you don't see people like cracked out on stuff, you know. So, you know, kids still play, and you know, it's kind of like life in the 80s and 90s. Yeah.
Oh, man, they're missing out.
No, they're not. You know, it's that old, that whole KISS theory, keep it simple, stupid. There's something to that. You know, it's just, it's kind of nice, you know. Granted, you know, there's, you know, I don't have bacon, you know, but hey, it's all good. I can, you know, I can eat sausage. Good bacon, that is. So, yeah. you know, there's a few things lacking, but no, it's just more of a simple, it's just, everything's a lot more simple. It's kind of like the way that it used to be, even though it's not going to be like the way forever, but yeah, it's just.
No ice simple. Sitters.
Yeah, there's no eye sitters, you know, people, there's actually babysitters, you know.
Yeah, there's a human there, not an iPad to sit them.
Yeah, exactly. So what else we got down there, Steve?
Let's see. Tell the story about going to PetSmart to get Chacho had worms.
Chacho's my dog. Chacho's my vampire dog, for those, anybody doesn't know, right?
Yeah, you're a 19-year-old vampire dog that survived on Twinkies and Ho-Hos for almost 2 decades.
Yeah. So I walk in because my dog, it's August, so which is like the high season for fleas. Mm-hmm. And Chacho never really has fleas, but I saw him biting because he's usually clicking or licking. Mm-hmm. So he was, you know, chomping away, and he was kind of raw. And I was like, oh, no, I got to take him to the vet. What's going on? And then I noticed he had fleas. I'm like, oh, okay, he has fleas. Well, you know, what do? You get a flea collar, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that make sense? Like, I mean, just, you know, you want to spray and, they, you know, give him a bath and everything. And, you know, you just get a flea collar.
Yeah.
That was like some 12 normal. $12,
PetSmart, whatever.
Yeah, that was my thought. I had a PetSmart down the street. I'm like, yeah, get in the car, boop, you know, pull up. Hey, can you tell me where the flea collars are? Yeah, down the aisle, sir. Fantastic, great. Get to the aisle. There's like two people standing there. They were like rearranging. You know, there's a bunch of different collars. And I was like, okay, great. It looks like I have choices. There's collars. All right, this is great. We're getting somewhere. And I asked, and I go, oh, so can you have a recommendation? My dog has some fleas. They're like, yeah, well, this one has peppermint, and this one over here has a mixture of peppermint with some sandalwood. And I was like, are you guys for real right now? I need something that kills fleas. They're like, yeah, sir, well, you know, we have,
yeah, fleas hate rose petals, they just, yeah, hate it. Yeah, you lavender know. Oh my god, lavender,
you fleas didn't are appalled know that?
By lavender.
And I just looked at them dead in the face, both of them, and they were just looked at me, and I go, look, I need drugs for my dog. I need drugs, instant contact, kill, napalm, DDT, you know, Roundup. Give me some shit that's going to kill my fleas on my dog. And they just didn't even know what to tell me.
Wow. Essential oils for fleas.
Yeah, I guess you can't get, like, I mean, I'm like.
So it can't kill the fleas, I mean.
No. The dog collars, I guess, now. I don't know. I'm not an expert
in this. It just puts them in a really calm mood so they don't bite
you.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're still there.
But yeah, they're still there. They're, you have, like, docile fleas now.
They just chill by the pool, but they don't really do anything.
They just chill by your dog's butt and just chill out. They don't really bite or suck blood, or they just chill.
Yeah.
The chillaxing fleas now.
Yeah. Got the massage music playing.
They just put the cool jams on, chilling by the follicles. Yeah, so apparently you can't get like a flea collar that actually kills fleas. I guess that actually works. Yeah. So that was kind of interesting. And then it just got, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I'll take the flea spray. I kind of figure out, I'm like, okay, well, like, screw this dog collar bull. I'm just going straight for the spray. Mm-hmm. And then so I do it like $12.99. Great. Get to the counter. And then I go, she's like, that's 12. I don't know, something in change. And then she was going to give me 97 cents back. And then I just looked at her. I'm like, you're really going to give me 97 cents back? Really? Really? And it's really says, it I was
rounded
like,
up to a dollar.
Can't you just like throw the 3 cents on it? I'm sure you won't get in trouble. Like, you're really going to do that to my pocket?
I'm going to be a prime target for every homeless man in between here and the house.
Yeah. You don't know what you're doing to me. Yeah. You know?
I have to tell 4 homeless people and lie to them and say I don't have any change when they can obviously hear it in my pocket.
Yeah, the time that it takes for my hand to go into my pocket, it costs me more. Yeah, I get so annoyed by that. I'm like, can't you just round that stuff up? That was the great thing about living in Australia. They just round everything to goddamn dollar. You know what? That is
Really?
So, oh yeah, it's just like everything, just a dollar, two, five. They just round all that shit up. It's fantastic. Huh. It was like the best thing since sliced bread when I came across that. Yeah, they just round everything up. There's no pennies, and they're like penny. What is that?
Yeah, we don't have those, sir.
Yeah, we don't have those here. Like, why would you? There's no use for those. I'm like, yeah, you should tell that to my friends in the U.S. Yeah, it's like, ugh. So anyways, yeah. So apparently, you know, the flea spray I got, that's like essential oil stuff too. So nothing really kills fleas, I guess. So I have Advantix and stuff for them now. But like, yeah, so won't be doing that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you're creating a little paradise for the fleas instead of sending them off to the death factory.
Yeah, yeah, no napalm for fleas. Yeah.
Thank you, hippies.
Yeah, thank you, hippies. Appreciate that, California.
Yeah, you're saving my 19-year-old dog.
Yeah, thanks. He's gonna die from eating like actual healthy food, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, this whole thing about animals. You know what? Pets are getting really expensive too, by the way. They're like as much as like kids. Oh, I'm not that hard, but they're really, they're pricey now.
Yeah, you get a good vet bill, that's the equivalent of a kid over the course of several months.
Well, no, everything though. I mean, it's like, you know, there's a lot of like stuff for them. Have you ever tried to get a dog sitter? They're like $60 to $80 an hour or a day, or I don't even know. And they're just,
I remember the last time when you went down, you were like, dude, they were gone. I was gone like 2 weeks and it was $1,000. I'm all, what? Are you kidding?
Yeah. Yeah. That's some crazy stuff out there, man. I don't want any more animals, man. I'm just going to have cockatiels, you know?
Yeah.
Cockatiels and parakeets and goldfish. I'm not going anything beyond that anymore. I got a good start over here.
I gave your contact Steve Tepper a call. So you're gonna build in your, it sounds like after this Colombian trip you're gonna focus on Airbnb in Santa Barbara, right? And construct an ADU, which is an accessory dwelling unit, basically kind of a second home, studio,
granny flat.
A granny flat.
Just so people know, like, if you have a piece of land and it's zoned, generally speaking, no matter what country, you know, like whatever, but you can build a second accessory or, you know, additional dwelling unit in the back. So that's all it is.
Yeah. So I gave Steve a call. Very knowledgeable. I guess that's why you hired him.
Yeah. He's a semi-retired, by the way.
Semi-retired, kind of does this for fun, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You know, just basically kind of pointing people in the right direction. So you're hiring him to basically kind of be your shaman, your oracle for your mentor for building an ADU, right?
My spiritual guide, Steve.
Your spiritual guide towards ADUs,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, my spiritual ADU guide. Let's get that shit right. Yeah, we meditate before we start the day.
Yes. So I'm excited to talk to him and have him on because I want to do the same thing when the housing market corrects. I'd like to get a spot like you have in Santa Barbara with, you know, either the house in the front or the back, and then basically build an ADU in the front or the back, you know, kind of
business
turn it
into. Yep. Yeah, business in the front, party in the back.
Party in the back, yes, just like a mullet.
Yeah, just like a mullet. Yeah, so, but it's going to be kind of cool because he's going to, you know, he's going to kind of break down how things work. And it's, you know, obviously, look, we're in California, super restrictive. It's a lot probably easier in a lot of their states, but at least it'll kind of give an idea how things work in doing it. And, you know, I wouldn't. The reasoning I chose a person like him is because I have some knowledge, but you know, I don't have an immense amount of knowledge. So that's where he comes in. So I can kind of hire him on a part-time kind of basis as like a guide. And that's what I was looking for, you know, somebody that was kind of semi-retired, did something kind of on the side. I didn't have to pay, you know, extra, you know, $200,000 to have a contractor basically. And then when he gave me the price of what I could do everything for, I was actually pretty dumbfounded. I'm like, okay, yeah, we can start yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
Yeah, yeah, because it's about California, in, you know, nicer communities, it's 350 to 450 a square foot, 350 to 400. And, you know, at least on the coast.
Yeah.
And put those numbers together. You know, you usually can do, let's see, about, you know, a granny flat, you know, let's say two story, 1,250 square feet. You know, that could cost you upwards of over $500,000.
Yeah. And that's the biggest you can go is 1250, right?
For me, yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's what I can do. Yeah. Okay. In my area. And they do it based, and every place is different. You know, they'll do it based on a calculation. But I'm doing a two story because I have a really large backyard and I want it to take up the least amount of space possible. So I have more yard and so I can, you know, create that space up instead of around.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the kind of reasoning, you know. And so I think it'll be great. I think it's good for somebody who has maybe you've gone through a remodel and you got divorced, you know, from your wife already. Because if you've married, you've gone through a remodel. Well, she's a keeper.
Yeah. If she could stand washing dishes in the bathroom for 4 months, that might be one you hang on to.
Yeah, possibly. So, but yeah, I think it's good for somebody who has at least a little knowledge, because, you know, working with, you know, let's say even like day laborers or, any kind of journeyman electricians, and, you know, it could be a whole bag of worms. So, you know, having somebody like this guy, Steve, it's actually kind of nice, you know, kind of guide through that process, but with having some knowledge already, going into it. So, and this is somebody, you know, he can do the plans, draw everything up, get you to the point where you have all your permits and you do it as an owner builder, and, you know, you can kind of take it from there. And I've actually looked at all the options, modulars and all that. And I'm doing what's called just, you know, your good old fashioned stick build. But, you know, a lot of, it's very popular right now, and there's a lot of fast money in there, I think. That's just from my own experience. And so I just don't think that there's a whole lot of like follow through, and, you know, just, you know, there's a lot of over promising when doing things like this in the industry, because there's a need for it, and it's a big demand because we don't have all that space in a lot of these coastal areas. So they're really kind of relaxing the rules. And, you know, there's just a lot of companies out there that are offering ADUs, but I'm just going more traditional. You know, it's kind of like having a long-term rental, in my opinion. You know what I mean? It's just solid. And, you know, there's some other great options out there, but, you know, I just don't want to have a crane, big giant crane, you know, that I got to pay like $20,000 for to like uplift the modular unit across my existing house.
Yeah.
You know,
just hope the cable don't break.
Yeah. It's just, you know, there's just all these like weird things, and, you know, how they deal with the money. It's just, you know, I don't want to deal with it. I'll just do it myself. And that's just me. You know, everybody's different. You know, people, I've heard horror stories with, you know, all these other options. I've heard good stories. It's such a mixed bag. I just feel like if I just go stick build, I pour the damn foundation, I get everything done, frame it and drywall it and paint it and stucco it, which I believe I can do because I've done it. I don't think we're going to have any, you know, I know where the money's going. You know what I mean? Because I'm paying to put it in.
Yeah.
And it's literally I would say it's, you know, than hiring a contractor. It's 60-70% less. When I put the numbers, I mean, it was a huge difference.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. We're talking, you know, between 100 to 200,000 as opposed to like 350 to 550.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's quite a bit of difference.
Yeah. 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 Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So. That'll be cool. That'll be an interesting interview. I've been looking into it here in Ventura, and I went to the government center and got the rules and regulations. It's a big old stack. Cool. And I've been going through that. So,
you think it was going to be a one pager?
I figured it would be maybe two paragraphs, and I was unpleasantly surprised.
They're like, I got a flyer that you can have.
Yeah. It's all on this 3x5 card here in
large print.
Large print. It says, do what you want. Yeah, that's not what I feel.
Yeah, but here's some crayons. Go at it, buddy.
Yeah. just let us know when you're done so we can stamp it.
Yeah. So what'd you find out?
I've just got the packet. I haven't gone through it yet.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to go through it. But basically, the general thing of it, what the guy was saying down there was that they're encouraging people to do this.
Right.
He said, so, you know.
It's laxed.
Yeah. He's like, this is not like it was 15 years ago when we didn't want people building these things. He said, now we realize that there's going to be a demand for a lot more rentals. And, you know, we want to facilitate you through the process as easily as possible.
Oh, well, that's like, actually really cool.
That was shocking to hear from a government employee. Yeah.
Are you sure you were talking to one?
Some guy just went in there and started eating on his lunch break.
Yeah.
Just spouting off what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, I think you just showed up at the right place at the right time. You just heard what you just heard, or you heard what you wanted to hear.
Yeah.
I've been down to the building, you know, the planning building department. That's like a shit show.
Huh. Yeah. This place was vacant, and the guy was very helpful. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Wow. Jesus. Okay. He's like, where'd he give you a little pat on the back? And
a little pat on the back, a little slap on the ass. And he sent me on my way.
Yeah. He's like, hey, you can do it.
Yeah. Here's my cell phone number.
Here's my cell phone. You need anything? Yeah. Hey, I'm available for, you know, talk, beers, you know, you got, you know, emotional support, whatever. Yeah, you need. Just
I'm
give
free
me a call.
On Friday night, you know?
Yeah. Free on Friday. I'll dress up for you. It's all good. I am pretty dumbfounded by that. It's like literally I'm here to help badge.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a fucking Walmart greeter. Yeah.
Go stand in that line over there. There's no one at the counter. Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I am dumbfounded that you had a pleasant experience with that.
Well, I've done nothing to progress on this other than to get a little pamphlet on how to do it. So
we'll put a TBD on that.
Yeah. To be determined.
Yeah, to be determined. Yeah. We're going to come back with a whole episode of just Steve pissed off in Ventura County. They're just peed in my Cheerios again. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll burn a cigar and see how that goes.
Yeah. Oh, I got that article you sent me on by Jeffrey Gundlach.
Yeah, good old Jeffrey. Yeah, Bond.
Yeah, the billionaire bond investor. That was pretty interesting. I kind of already consciously knew this, but to hear a billionaire who's been investing in bonds for the last four decades verbalize it was kind of good when he said, you know, when bonds are paying you 1.3% to have them, or less, and inflation is over 10%, that's just a bad deal. <I'm> like, yeah.
I don't think you need too much of a brain to figure that out, you know? So,
oh, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's big on the emerging markets, you know, kind of going forward, not like currently, presently, but coming
up. Yeah, so basically investing outside of the U.S., you know? Yeah. There's other fish to catch, and it doesn't have to be in this country.
He was a little bigger on Europe. You know, he seemed like he was pretty a little bit more heavier on the emerging markets, you know, via Europe.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, yeah, you know, I have the same kind of sentiment. I kind of believe the same thing. So I think he's on point, you know, and he said another kind of interesting point. He said gold is in hibernation right now. He kind of quoted that. And I thought that was kind of cool, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but anyhow, that reinforces our point that bonds are just.
Yeah,
gonna be. What did Jordan call him? A dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire. That's
dumpster
right.
Fire, yes. Yeah,
I love that terminology.
It's so great.
Yeah, good old dumpster fire.
Should we? Let's see. Should we do the book of the week?
Oh, book of the week. Yeah, 1%.
1% rule.
Yeah.
You found this one, right? How did you find it? Were you just scrolling through? Audible or something, or
that's kind of what I do sometimes.
Came up on your suggestion or something.
Suggestion box,
yeah. The algorithm got you.
Yeah, the algorithm. Yeah, they just said you might like this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jeff Bezos called me.
Yeah,
I got a great book for you, bro.
Yes.
You need to read this,
Jeff. Do tell.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I found the book. No. I thought it was. What'd you think of it?
I liked it a lot. It basically he you know, it's kind of like little life hacks, you know, is what I got right out of it. Kind of like Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Like
a little Tim Ferrissy a little bit, but not really like that, but a little Ferrissy.
You know, one thing that I really got out of it that that I've actually done myself, although it was a little bit different. One thing he suggested was, he had a name for it and it's escaping me right now, but basically it's a way to maximize your efficiency when you're working time. Or studying. Yeah, like time management. Mm-hmm. And he said, you basically work focused, no email, windows up, you know, your cell phone is on airplane mode. There's no distractions. There's no music playing in the background. There's no TV in the background. It's just you and your work for 25 minutes. And then you set a timer. And then at the end of 25 minutes, you set a 5-minute timer for a 5-minute break and you go do something else. You know, to take your mind off of work for 5 minutes. Then you come back, set another 25-minute timer, and work focused, undistracted, airplane mode on the phone and all that for 25 minutes. Take a 5-minute break, and then you take a 15-minute break where you get a little snack or something like that, and then you rinse and repeat. So he calls them these little cycles where, you know, they're essentially 30-minute cycles where it's 25 minutes working, 5 minutes break. And you try to stack as many of those as you can. He said, so for the first day, you know, or maybe the first week or so, you're only going to be able to do one or two of those in a row. But as time goes on, you'll be able to stack 6, 8, 10 of these in a work day. And you can get a lot more accomplished. And it was interesting to me because I took a class maybe 10 or 15 years ago by a guy named Eben Pagan. And
his name was what?
Eben Pagan.
Oh, they said Eben Pagan.
No, like, Eben. E-B-A-N, I believe.
Eben.
Eben Pagan. Yeah. And he called the course Wake Up Productive.
Mm.
And he basically gave this same outline, except he doubled it. And looking back now, I bet he probably took this formula and basically just doubled it and kind of made it his own. Yeah. But he did the 50 minutes working, 10 minute break, 50 minutes working, 10 minutes break. And so those are like the cycles, you know, and then a 30 minute break after that to have something to eat, maybe take a quick nap. All of this is on a timer. Anyways, I use this and I know that it works because I've used it for studying for, that's how I became a fire captain. That's how I became a pilot. Was literally all of my study sessions followed this 50 minutes on, 10 minutes off, 50 minutes on, 10 minutes off for as many sessions as I could put in a day. The most I could ever do was 6 because that's essentially 6 hours of studying. I could never get beyond that and still be somewhat coherent, you know. Yeah, it works. It really does. And I realized I haven't done that system with the timer in probably a year or so. You know, I haven't really had a what made me think of it when you were going through your real estate studying for that test. You know, something like that, a system like this would be kind of neat.
Yeah, I just had to leave my own house, so I just use flashcards, Steve. So I wasn't that sophisticated, but now you're making me look bad. I like literally just memorize stuff on flashcards. Yeah. I'm like, I got to get the F out of my house so nobody disturbs me. Put some headphones on and just memorize flashcards. But I could have used it. So, you know,
I thought it was a good book. You know, it's basically just about just do something every day that gets you closer to where you want to be. I don't know. What would you get out of it?
I thought it was had a little bit of the, and I, you know, the word kind of escapes me exactly how it's pronounced, but the Japanese have a great way of, when they kind of perfect things, it's Kaizen. The name's escaping me a little bit. And it's that kind of continually improving something. And the reason, how they do that is just by the continual improvement is they just doing, even if it's just a little bit of day and just kind of, and again, the book 1%, right? So if, you know, those 1%, and pretty soon it becomes like compound interest over time. So I thought I had a lot of notes in there and, it was just reminiscent of a lot of the stuff I've read, you know, on Japanese culture. And so I just thought it was great. It's just a good little thing. And it is like, you know, hey man, I'm not the best Spanish speaker, but I try, you know, every day, you know, I try to do something, you know, and it's, and I gotta be honest, I don't know who the hell ever said that learning languages was easy for starters. Cause that shit's freaking hard. Like you have to know like 15,000 words, at least 5,000 minimum. Right.
Yeah.
And you have to have those like memorized and know what that means. So to be like fluent in another language, you know, and again, just a little bit of something every day. And, you know, I do that. And it actually, you know, to just being conscious of that, of just, even if you just do one little thing, 1%, right. And you build, just as long as you keeping that consistency throughout a period of time, it's just being conscious of that, moving yourself forward. It really pays off.
Yeah, I like the, now that you're saying that, I like the example that he gave of like, he wanted to, he said his objective was to make an extra $35,000 by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And he's like, how am I going to do that? And he said, okay, I'm going to call 2,500 new leads in 90 days. He says, okay, how am I going to break that up? What's 1%? Of that every day. And he said,
exactly.
Okay, I call 27 new leads every day. And if I do that for 90 days, then I'll hit my 2,500 mark, you know? And it's like, that's when it finally like clicked. And I got what he was saying,
right.
You know, was like, you take whatever it is you want. And then you take the time that it's going to do it. In that example, it was 90 days, divide that by you know, in increments of 1%, and that came out to 27 people a day. And he said, ironically, what usually happens when you do things like that is you'll get to number 27 and you're like, oh, I still feel good. I can make a couple more phone calls and make it around 30 or 40.
Yeah.
And then you end up finishing sooner than you thought. But if you never outline it and put it in, you know, an actionable, you know, thing that you can do, then, you know,
you won't. Kind of like if you ink it, you think it.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. No, I actually, that really, for me, that really works. I just find if I just write something, that's why, again, like I'm just kind of old school. I just go like flashcards, you know, when I'm trying to learn something, because I have to ink it and I think it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just something to that. So
there, we had a kid, at the he went through our fire academy, and what we put these recruits through in the first day, and everyone that got hired through there has to do it, is we basically pull up the ladder truck, you know, the long one where the guy drives in the back, and we open up every compartment and we say, okay, tomorrow you're going to get tested on every single tool that's on this truck. And there's something ridiculous, like over 500 or 600 items on the truck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically what it is we're just trying to scare them shitless. And, you know, nobody ever passes this thing. You know, it's just a way to just put the fear of God in them on day one and have them show up the next day on 2 hours of sleep and then pull up another truck that's different than that one with completely different tools on it and tell them, all right, you have to write down everything on this one by tomorrow morning. And the real mind fuck is when we get out a stack of blank white copy paper. Doesn't even have lines on it. And we just give each of them like 10 or 12 just blank white papers. And we're just like, just write it all down. Right. Well, this one kid, I'll never forget, Andrew. Brian Andrews was his name. He got like everything. You know what I mean? I mean, he missed a few items or something, but out of 600, he was able to write down 573. And I was like, how the hell did this kid do this? He wasn't a volunteer here at the department before.
Yeah.
You know, he literally memorized this shit within like, you know, 14 hours or whatever it is. Because we show them at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and then 8 o'clock the next morning, they got to be writing this down on blank white pieces of paper. No one's ever done this test so well. Oh, and wow. So I pulled him. I'm like, impressive. Yeah, I had him tell the class. I was like, what? I pulled him aside and I'm like, tell everyone what you did, because I've been here for a while. And no one's ever done this. And he said, well, what he did was, you know, he wrote down what was in every compartment when he could visually see it in front of him. He said, then he drew a picture of the truck and he went compartment by compartment. And he said the trick that he learned, and he learned it from Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker guy, he said, you read it out loud to yourself. He said, so first you have to write down everything that's in the compartment. And then you visualize the compartment. And while you're visualizing the compartment, you speak it out loud. And he's like, that's all I did. And apparently it worked. I'm like, yeah, I think it did.
Wow. So,
yeah, there's something about writing it down, like you said. And then I learned that from him. If you're memorizing something, say it out loud as you're reading your own writing.
Oh, shit. Well, I guess I got to get that Tony Robbins book now. Damn it. Great.
Word to the wise.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's very impressive.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty. It worked. But now that I'm saying it, I think it kind of makes sense because, you know, it's humans. We learn three different ways. We learn auditory by hearing it. We learn by seeing it, and we learn by doing it. So maybe the doing it is writing it down and speaking it, and then you're looking at it by looking at the compartment, visualizing it, and reading your own words, and then you're hearing yourself talk. I mean, it kind of makes sense. You're hitting all three.
Yeah, maybe you can put four in there.
A spiritual one?
Maybe you're onto something, Stevie. I see a book in your future. It's going to make Tony jealous.
Yeah. Tony's got nothing on my ass.
Yeah, I'm in the fourth dimension. Yeah, that's awesome. No, I that's great. No, you're absolutely right. Now that you're definitely that's it makes complete sense, you know.
Yeah.
I like it.
But we got a shout out.
Awesome.
Yes. This one is from Ordinary Man 2. I guess Ordinary Man 1 was taken.
Taken. Yep. GoDaddy got it.
Yes. He wrote on Reddit on a the last episode that we had posted up there, and he wrote and he talked about so lately silver's been kind of going down in price, right?
Yeah.
And so he talked, this is really ingenious. I've never even thought of this before. Okay. So you know how there's options trading, like what we did with what we learned with Randall, right? So we have calls where if we think that the stock is going to go up in the next 3 weeks to a month, we can make a call. And if it does go up, this options is basically like it's kind of an exponential, win. If the stock goes up by a dollar or something, or we'll just call it percentage, maybe 10%, you can make a lot more on an options bet than you could on buying that stock and then selling it a couple weeks later or something, right? So what this guy's doing is he's physically buying silver. So he's physically buying the metal, then he's reading the graphs and anticipating which way the metal is going to go. And so when it goes down, he buys a put, which is the opposite of a call. He'll buy a put betting that the metal's going to go down. So if it goes up in price, he ends up winning on his physical bet. And if it goes down in price, he still has the physical metal, but he makes money from the put option from the spot price dropping.
This is ingenious. This is ingenious,
right?
This is not an ordinary man.
No. So he said for the past 4 months, his profits has been in put options, and he's been using the put options to kind of finance his physical stack. So he makes money on betting that it's going to go down. Cashes out and then takes that money and goes buy more physical silver.
But what's really cool about this is, we should be calling him No Ordinary Man.
Yeah, No Ordinary
Man. We need to change your name, bro.
Yeah. I think we need to get this guy on the show. This sounds really interesting.
I've never actually, I mean, this, look, we could just be like blind squirrels on this, just this obviously. But I mean, it sounds like a great game.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you're actually you buying something. He's using the options thing, which is completely like a non-physical realm, right? And he's buying physical with it's like a human communicating with the spiritual world in finance.
Right.
I love it. Like, this is like, shit, I think I gotta get in on this just for fun.
This would be pretty fun. Yeah.
Oh Steve, oh man, when are you coming over? You want to come over tonight?
We're gonna make some puts here, bro.
Yeah, we made some. Yeah, no, this is actually really unique and interesting non-ordinary way to buying silver and making money, silver and gold through through these puts. You know? It's ingenious. I mean, obviously you've learned it from somewhere, but if he came up with it on his own, it's definitely not ordinary.
I like it.
Shout out, man. That's really awesome that you're doing that. I think that's like just super cool. Obviously, I'm sure maybe it is on YouTube. I don't know, but I just haven't seen it before. But I think it's a great and cool way to do something. And it's a little bit more motivating, too, I think, because he's actually getting physical silver, you know, it's like in his hand, you know?
Yeah. And the beauty of it is he's getting it by the price going down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Fucking genius, man. I love it, dude. That's
pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I just want you to know we don't think you're ordinary.
No. We think you're extraordinary.
Yeah, extraordinary. No ordinary man. That's some awesome shit right there. It's all right. I'm sure there's a thousand more bad jokes coming, Steve. It's all good though.
I like the Mitch Hedberg bad joke. A severed foot is the ultimate stocking stuffer.
Oh God, that's just like,
is it bad?
Yeah, that's bad, man. Okay, that's bad. That's some terrible shit.
Yeah.
Don't try to pick up any chicks with that.
Horrible joke.
Dude, that's bad.
It would work for a great stocking stuffer, wouldn't it? It just fit perfect. You don't have all those awkward bulges.
I don't know. Yeah, it'd be great if I was 8.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. All right, man. I tried. Okay. Right on. Oh man. All right. Well, cool. So next show, some ADUs talking how to make some money. Hopefully build yourself an ADU, get some Airbnb going. Oh, I'm actually doing something interesting with that Airbnb. And hopefully the county doesn't hear this. With my freaking luck, they probably are listening. But I'm actually going to build a two-story ADU, and I'm going to put what's called a workshop craft room for my porcelain ponies. And I'm going to like make it so there's an upstairs and downstairs, but the downstairs is going to be an Airbnb, but it's all going to look like one unit to them.
Okay.
So when they leave, I'm just going to put a door at the bottom.
Is it going to be a garage door to begin with, and then you're going to tear that out and put a regular man door, or what are you going to do?
You know, I'm not saying I won't.
Girl, no, I have the two-car garage door coming, sir. Can you please sign it off? Yes. All right, buddy. Yeah. Let's close this in.
Yeah. Sign off my craft room, please.
Yes.
Yeah, it's actually my craft room is really going to be a one bedroom, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Nice. I'm making it a 2-for-1, damn it.
Yeah. It's all about the hustle. That's where the fun's at.
Dude, it is, you know. Yeah. You know that, you know, Joe, when he had the show, when he came on the show, he was like, man, he had some little quote in there, and he never stopped hustling, you know.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, he's, that was kind of right. I got to give him that.
You know, Joe and I met, not Joe Baxter, Cigar Joe, but Joe, yeah, our buddy, we met, yeah, a couple out at the Colorado River last year, and they're very successful. They have a plumbing business, with, you know, multimillionaires. And he said, when they first met, they're probably in their 50s. They've been married for 30 years, started dating when they're like 16. He said, when he was a kid, he would get the cheapest concert tickets that he could and try to sneak his way back into like backstage, you know? And he said, that was the whole game, was it was like, can we get in for, you know, all we have is $20, you know, and the tickets were 10 for the two of us. How much can we get out of this? And so he kind of became this real talkative guy, which he already was, but you know, it was always to see, could we get back and see the band? And he says now, even though they could afford the $600 or $800, you know, front stage tickets,
he still
always gets the cheapest ones and just tries to work his way back there.
He's on the grind, man. He never stops. Yes.
I'm like, that's awesome.
Oh, that's super cool, man. Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, cool. Well, I think we've got some exciting stuff coming up. I think, you know, just basically, you know, ADUs, Airbnbs, and getting some other cool stuff down the pipe.
Yeah, yeah. We got to learn this put game for silver.
Oh, pretty, yeah. Clever. I think, like it. Yeah, I think, this, you know, that's a great word. I think it's clever. It's a very clever way of doing this. Yeah. Yeah, just let me know when you want to come over, Steve. We can start that up.
All right. Sounds good.
I got to get back to the United States first, though.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you have fun down in Colombia.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm living very expensively down here.
Yes.
These $2 taxi rides are killing me.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I like four bags of groceries for $30. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I hope you guys got something out of that. And if you want to check out past episodes, go to stevebartonmoney.com. To order your precious metals, go to milesfranklin.com. Put in an order with Andy Scheckman. Tell him In It to Win It sent you, and Andy will send the show a little bit of kickback. Won't cost you an extra dime. You can email Andy. His email is andy@milesfranklin.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend, and thank you for tuning in. Here is your weekly motivational speech.
There are many people who have lost that fire in their eyes, who, because of the experiences of life, have said, no, I can't do that. See, you can experience enough pain in life, you can experience enough disappointment in life that he can clobber you to the ground and kick dirt in your face, and you believe you can't do it. You believe that this is it for you. No, it's not. Everything you're going through is preparing you for what you ask God for. You just gotta quit tripping while you're in the process, because the process is necessary. You may not see it now, but when he gets you on the other side of it, you're gonna see exactly why it went that way, and you're gonna be okay with it. But quit tripping during the process. Pull yourself together and quit tripping, cause you're in the process. God is processing you. He ain't through with you. If he was through with you, you would not wake up in the morning.
The problem with society now is too many of us on the contract. The contract means when things ain't going right, I quit. When things ain't going the way I think they should go, I give up, I give in. Most of you are not under covenant. Covenant means, look, me and you, if the company go down, we go down with it. We do not retreat. We do not give up. We do not surrender. And the reason why most of you are not successful is because every single time stuff not going your way, you give up, you quit, you let go, and people feel weakness. They feel it. You can feel when somebody's not committed, when they're not dedicated. And there's another level you get to when you go all in. Phenomenally skilled is cute. But it is a phenomenal will that says, every time I get knocked down, I will get back up and I will succeed. I will not surrender.